This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
You and I have something in common now.
We both know exactly who you are, and you're terrified that it's only a matter of time before he knows too. You can't ever get his love back.
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is The One Blade That Can Do You Harm. We also talk about ABC's Once Upon a Time in Wonderland series that is slowly coming to an end. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, because we have, what, 4 episodes left after this one, I think?
Something like that.
I thought we had 3, personally.
And there's our guest, Tim Peters. it's been about a year since you've been on, hasn't it, Tim?
Something to do with that, because the last time it was close to the giant episode, Tiny.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Like, I was trying
it's
to...
Been, it's been a pretty long while. In fact, I wanted to go back and listen to the episode that I was on before, but I decided not to.
Hey, you know what? We did too, and we also decided not to, so we're all on the same page, thankfully. But did you say you think it has 3 episodes left? I thought it was four. I could be wrong.
I don't know, 13 or 14, somewhere in there.
13. So there's 3
okay,
left.
So there's 3 left. Yeah.
3 yes. left. Ooh.
Oh, good. I was right.
And I could say, you know, let's start speculating about what those episodes will contain, but we haven't even started talking about this week's episode yet.
Yeah, so. I think we might get into that. Yeah.
We should probably discuss it briefly anyway. Anne-Marie, if you want to start us off with the episode summary, we'll get right into it, I guess.
All right. The Jabberwock runs wild while our heroes split up. Lizard's still dead with her eyes in a cup. Ew. Those eyes tell the villains the queen has the bottle. Taking their plans from slow to full throttle. Our heroes split up. Who's advising these guys? Jabberwocky takes Queen and Will by surprise. Cyrus and Alice open the door to his past, then confront the well girl for the spell that she cast. By the end of the day, they're all at their weakest due to the Red Queen's dirty little secrets.
Yay. It was a poem.
it was a poem that exists in the universe now. Okay, let's start with our guest, Tim. Overall, hey, what did you think of the episode this week?
Overall, it was a great episode. I'm really starting to enjoy this just as it's, you know, coming to an end, I guess, because they have to, you know, really amp things up, as you said in your rhyme there, full throttle. Yes.
Yeah.
And, we got Cyrus's backstory. You know, Cyrus is no longer, you know, just Alice's boyfriend. He's now an actual person with a past.
Yeah, and that's something I've really been wanting to see since the first episode, or since
exactly, myself as well.
Yeah, he was one of the most interesting characters to me. Mainly because I thought he would tie more into the tale we all know Jafar from. But we'll get into that in a minute. Anne-Marie, overall, what did you think?
You never know.
That's true. I think I'm going to go out and say it. This was my favorite Wonderland episode
of all time.
Of all time, yes.
Even more so than the mid-season finale.
I think so. And I liked that episode. And, you know, I openly spill the haterade all over Wonderland, but I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, you, of course, and, you know, some other of our listeners and stuff, people have been really super duper impressed with this episode. And I thought it was decent. I thought it was even above average. I didn't think it was the best episode of Wonderland. I think the mid-season finale still holds that for me, but I mean, at the same time, it more questions answered, a couple more asked. And I mean, it was an above average episode for Wonderland. If this had been an episode of Once Proper, I would have called it average. A bad episode or average or bad.
Average. Yeah.
Average. We'll go with average.
Maybe like a neutral average.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie, when you spill Haterade all over Wonderland, you want to know what happens? There turns into an orchard of Haterade trees.
I like it.
Where you can get fresh Haterade juice with
fresh
pulps.
Haterade juice every day.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and get into our main discussion here. As Tim mentioned, we did get Cyrus's backstory and the basic deal. Him and his three brothers, they were cheats and gamblers. They were cheats and gamblers. They got their mom burned up, and then they went to enact some crazy, wacky magic to get that fixed. And we also find out that Amara, who we saw in an earlier episode with Jafar, who eventually got transformed into his staff, we saw that Amara was actually their mother, or Cyrus's mother.
And that was
crazy.
That was like the fourth episode. I know it's called The Serpent for those fans who are not paying as much attention as we are.
Yeah, definitely. And, so that was very interesting. And I kind of enjoyed the story because, you know, so far Cyrus has always been like the most iconic heroic character in the entire series. You know, he's just like the dashing 1930s movie serial hero.
Right.
To kind of get some nuance with him to where it was kind of like walking a line where he was saying it was for his mom, but it was really more so he could live with himself. And really it was selfish, but not selfish at the same time. And it was interesting. It was a very interesting situation. But Anne-Marie, we'll start with you. What did you think about Cyrus's backstory?
I loved it. I so love the fact that Amara is his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much.
Yeah, in classic Once fashion.
Well, yes,
everyone you've ever met is integral to the plot and connected to several other characters.
Right, and honestly, how did we not see that one coming?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of fans who did, and I tried to stay away from that theory, but I was like, when it finally got unraveled, I was like, oh, this is not as much of a surprise as I was hoping.
Right. Like, my only thing was her. Go ahead.
Sorry. Because one day on Once Upon a Time, I'm going to be surprised if somebody's not related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big revelation.
Yeah. Like, my thing with her, though, is was she magical before or after this happened?
See,
okay. I actually have a good theory on this.
All right. Share with the group.
My theory on this is that, yes, she was absolutely magical before this happened. And I would even go so far as to say that, you know, she knew exactly, you know, what would happen when she got the well water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She did seem to know a lot about the lady in the well too, and that she'd be coming, and you guys got to get out of here right away.
Yeah, but she was so dark and violent with her magic when we last saw her.
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the thing with magic.
Okay.
Evil isn't born, it's made.
Okay.
So she turned evil after she lost her sons to genie bottles, which, you know, apparently come in all shapes and sizes, as we learned last episode.
Just whatever you happen to have laying around, she'll transform them into a genie receptacles.
Okay, that's true.
Genie
yeah,
houses.
I mean, I loved getting the Cyrus arc, though, because it sort of made him more real.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah, but and we kind of touched on this already, but Anne-Marie, you wanted to talk a little bit about the Well of Wonders?
Okay, the Well of Wonders, one thing that really stuck out to me was that it runs underneath all magical lands.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically said that it is under all magical lands. So is this a portal?
Yeah, it could very well be a portal. And I also heard a theory of where it might be located in Enchanted Forest.
Where?
Now, if you guys remember last week's episode, there was a gazebo that Philip and Aurora were in.
Yeah, a pathetic structure.
And apparently it's under there somewhere.
I could see that.
You know, I could also, didn't we already have, we had the Lady in the Lake episode, you know, a couple seasons ago,
see,
too.
That's where I personally was thinking it would be, but, you know, I'm up for wherever they want to place it. I mean, you know, it's something sort of new that they're introducing.
Right.
But the Well of Wonders, like the lake, does return things that were lost. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but this definitely, if nothing else, really confirms what we saw in the Little Mermaid episode of Once Proper, in that, water is a conduit between worlds. People can travel through water between the different realms. Mm-hmm. And something I thought was kind of interesting, too, was that, you know, we got that callback to the Little Mermaid episode of Once, and we also got, like, you know, a powerful sorcerer or sorceress stealing a character's voice to disempower them. Yeah, when Jafar took the Red Queen's voice away. So right. I thought that was interesting, like the double parallel there.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. I was actually surprised that what he didn't do is he didn't rip out her tongue, like we've seen from Will to the poor Sheriff of Nottingham. Oh, I love that scene. I'm so sadistic.
Yeah. Well, we've also seen Jafar is not afraid to play around with loose body parts either, as we saw in this episode. Oh,
that was
the eyes.
So
the eyes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did she have to take the stems too? That's
yeah,
what
like the
me.
Nerves running out the back of them.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, we've seen heads, we've seen hearts, we've seen shadows. Come on, I shouldn't be that creepy. And yet,
they were bloodier than anything else has been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do well with blood. I don't do well with blood. One other thing that I had sort of with the Well of Wonder stuff before we move past that, how the creepy lady says that the water can only help those whose fate has not been sealed, but that Amara's fate had already been sealed and she was to die. Well, they stole the water and kept her alive. And then he said, you know, or she said that they have to return the water and the curse will be broken. How the heck is he supposed to, like, return the water, throw the scepter into the well, which would then kill her?
That's my thought, is that she will have to, you know, sacrifice herself for the sake of, you know, regaining her sons back to their, you know, natural human, you know, et cetera.
He's going to have to put his mom in a juicer, basically.
That's the thing. I'm like,
that is another thing he could do.
It seems the most practical, right? And they're going to be in Storybrooke, so I'm sure Storybrooke has a...
Spoiler!
I don't think it's that much of a spoiler.
I know.
Well, actually it was, because I didn't click on the YouTube promo there. Anyway.
Oh, no! Well, actually, they're not going to be in Storybrooke. They're going to be in a storybook. That's what I said.
Oh, really? I don't believe you at all. Anyway,
you shouldn't.
So one last thing about Well of Wonders. Oh, and I sort of spoiled it, by the way I said that. Cave of Wonders, if both of you know this, is from the original Aladdin tale. And I was like, wait, is there going to be a lamp at the bottom of this well? That would be so cool.
Yeah, it almost feels like we need more of a hook into the Aladdin story before Wonderland's, you know, said and done, right? We need to see some sort of kind of clue, or at least, you know, get a little glimpse of Aladdin right before at the end of the series or something.
Right.
It just feels silly to have Jafar there, which is a villain that was created for the Disney movie of Aladdin, and not have Aladdin there at all.
So I have a random question. I didn't catch this in the episode, and maybe that's because it wasn't mentioned. Do you know the names of Cyrus's brothers? Because usually on Once Upon a Time, we always get, you know, names of everybody, whether we need them or not.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was just the one with the facial hair was the oldest, and I gather that the other one was the youngest.
Must be the youngest. I heard, you know, what if one of Cyrus's brothers was named Aladdin?
I was thinking the youngest one. Mm. I was thinking the younger brother, because I mean, it's hard to follow the trails of smoke, but I think he went into the Aladdin-looking lamp. And he just sort of had more of an Aladdin look to his face to me.
See, the other one, though, was more... altruistic, more heroic. He was the one who was calling Cyrus on his crap, like being like, right, "You're exactly. sure this is for Mom, right? This isn't for you." Okay, I guess you're telling the truth. Right. You know, so he seemed a little more altruistic, but then again, it seems really weird to have Aladdin be the genie in the lamp. I mean, I know they twist and turn.
I was about to say, how many twists have we done, though?
And Aladdin's also his own brother. somehow.
Right.
But Tim, you wanted to talk a little bit about the night puzzle that Alice and Cyrus faced?
Oh, yes. That was my favorite part of the episode. And first thing about the night, I was surprised that the knight was not either A, red, or B, white. In the Alice Through the Looking Glass, which is what a lot of this is based around, because we have the Red Queen, we have the Tweedles, you know. Mm-hmm. They're all in Alice Through the Looking Glass. It's a big chess-type metaphor. Uh-huh. And so you have, you know, the different colors of knights. And so I was surprised that it was... a silver knight, but you can't have everything.
I was actually, I was a little surprised that there weren't two of them, because
that's
riddle.
The traditional form of the riddle. Yes.
Yeah. It's a riddle. You know, one tells the truth. One only tells the truth. One only lies. And there were two doors. Right. So you would think there would be the two knights.
Maybe they only had enough in their budget for one night, didn't they?
You know, if I was a betting man, I would say they wrote it as two knights, and the executives at ABC were like, you know what? No one's going to get the two knights thing. You know what? Have one knight, have them lie. It'll be simpler. We'll dumb it down.
But see, everybody would have gotten it. You know why? Because it's awesome, and it's from Labyrinth, and Labyrinth is a great movie. And if you haven't seen Labyrinth, watch that, because I think that's where the original sorts of the riddle is. I think. Maybe.
I don't think it's the original source, but it's one of the biggest,
the most famous source.
Exactly. When I think of it, I think of Labyrinth, because that's probably the first place I saw it when I was a kid, and I saw Labyrinth for the first time. You know, bringing up Labyrinth, though, that is such a good movie and so, like, in tune with, you know, everything we cover on this in the main podcast. Maybe we should do, like, a commentary for Labyrinth sometime or something, Anne-Marie. That'd be kind of...
Well, you know what
I
think...
That means I actually have to watch it, though.
You know what I think you need to do first? More actual episode commentary from season one.
I guess so. I know we are so bad with those, with the episode commentaries, and it's just laziness on my part, because I have to figure out the right way to set it up to where me and Anne-Marie can see the screen and we can start it up right. And we were recording in a completely different studio the last time we did one. So it's trying to figure it out. Thanks for calling me out, Tim. Appreciate it. Jabberwocky.
That's what we do.
Speaking of jabber, the Jabberwocky, I think we got pretty much a clear outline of her powers in this episode. From what I can tell, strength, invulnerability, speed, and she can control people.
Control.
Yeah, through speech. Mm-hmm. And, I wondered, I think Tim had something along the same lines, I believe, but couldn't she have, I think another alternative for how things went down with the Red Queen he had, mm-hmm. but couldn't she have just commanded the Red Queen to use her wishes?
Probably.
You know, plus,
it seems so, but, you know, this way was much more fun, because you got to torture people, and torturing people always more fun?
Oh, yeah. Especially in the family hour, you know.
Of course. I think it also had to do with the fact that Jafar told her to, like, don't stop until she's broken.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to see that torture. He wanted Will to see that torture.
Mm-hmm. He just wanted entertainment. You know what I mean? Commanding the Red Queen to use her wishes. I mean, that's far too simple.
Well, he probably felt a little burned from the events of the first half season, too, as far as the Red Queen goes.
This is true. Yeah.
You know what? Something with the Jabberwocky
He was getting revenge.
Something with the Jabberwocky though, and I know Anne-Marie loves her, and I'll let you talk about what you like about her in a second. But doesn't she look like Rashida Jones from The Office and Parks and Recreation and Bridesmaids and everything? It just keeps distracting me for some reason.
Oh, Bridesmaids. Now I know the person who you're talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought vaguely that it might be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has like that very angular face like Rashida Jones does. And it just keeps – anytime I look at her, you know, she's trying to do the crazy eyes and I'm thinking the comedian. So I just think it looks a little silly. But Anne-Marie loves her.
Love her, and I really love her crazy eyes. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I see what you mean, though. I had to look up Rashida Jones because I'm not an Office and Parks and Rec person.
Yeah.
But okay, I totally see it. Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely looks like her.
So let's see. You were saying in your notes, what's the deal with the Vorpal Blade? Vorpal Blade is, of course, from the original Jabberwocky poem. It's also incidentally from the Tim Burton film, of course. Mm. And I know a bit of the poem. 1-2, 1-2, and through and through the Vorpal Blade went snickersnack. Okay. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. So not only do we have to kill the Jabberwocky, we apparently have to decapitate her. Apparently. Well, that would sort of make sense, given the powers that they've given the Jabberwocky, the powers of, you know, speech manipulation and et cetera. Jabber.
Massive credit on spitting that out from the top of your head too. We all should have gone back and reviewed the original poem, right? Probably. But
I memorized it once for a monologue audition, so it's, you know, everything's in there somewhere. That's my
motto. Know that feeling. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still probably just a little bit biased against the Jabberwocky, just because, as I've mentioned before, there was a big two-night special event thing on network television when I was a kid for Through the Looking Glass, and the Jabberwocky was like a major part of it. It would just show up at random moments, and just everything would go dark and lightning, and there'd be this big dragon there. And it's always been one of my favorite characters from the Alice mythos, mainly because of that miniseries. And I think I'm just a little, nostalgic for.
If they had introduced her earlier, I would have loved that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that she could have had a good enough role all the way through the series. And then, how I would have written it, I'm just, you know, spitballing here, is that I would have put her as, you know, a sort of neutral character, like our friendly neighborhood dark one. so that at first we don't really know what side she's on, and sometimes she's helping Alice and sometimes she's helping Jafar.
Yeah.
That's how I would have written it.
Okay, I just right now came up with the crazy, crazy, crazy out of left field theory. You guys want to hear it?
Why not? Of course.
Okay, so they're going spoilers. Skip ahead about a minute or two if you don't want to hear spoilers for next week that I already dropped earlier in the episode. Okay, when they come to Storybrooke next week, sure. It seems like it's going to be around that time that Hook and Cora and Regina were all running around together last season in Once Proper. Well, and
that might make sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is, actually.
Oh, do you? Really?
No, because to the Wikipedias, the little bit that it has, Allison's, can I read a spoiler?
Yes.
Okay. Totally. We're in a spoiler friendly moment. Alice and Cyrus discover alarming information involving prisoners Jafar has under his control and changes their priorities. Meanwhile, the Red Queen is in critical danger and no one can help her except for the Knave by surrendering information to Jafar that he has been desperately seeking. In flashback, Anastasia is about to marry the king and strikes up a friendship with Cora that directly impacts Will. Cora confronts Will, resulting with him asking her for a shocking demand, a.k.a. his heart. I added that last part.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you know what? That completely invalidates all my theory.
That's probably a shocking demand, but it doesn't say anything in that paragraph about Storybrooke.
No, but previews have shown retrieving the heart from the
From the heart vault, of course.
From the heart vault, yeah.
Because you haven't watched the video. Where else would you put your heart?
You haven't seen the preview for next week.
I forgot to see it.
They actually say the word Storybrooke in the preview, I believe, and they show the clock tower.
They show the
Well, you know, that's definitely pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm so glad it's back. I for like 1 minute thought it was going to be lost forever, but no.
So,
Storybrooke.
They fooled me again. Yeah. It's never going.
Never shall it go. They have too many apartments rented out around that town in, what is it, Vancouver or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, let's see here. Anne-Marie, you had a point you wanted to make about the Red Queen and Anastasia?
Anastasia is Cinderella's stepsister.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I had no idea.
I love it. We've been calling it for months at this point. But yes, it was confirmed. But I want to know what she's still hiding. Mm-hmm. Because she gave up the wishes way too quick, in my opinion, probably in everybody's opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah, I could see how people would say that.
But I think because she was still hiding something, because the Jabberwocky's like, you know, I know and you know what's going on, but you don't want him to know. Mm. And then all of the wishes were gone, basically. So...
Yeah, she definitely did give up way too quick on that, especially because, you know, for most of the episode, she had, you know, gone on this altruistic kind of tact.
Right.
I thought because it was such a dramatic scene that I almost believed that, you know, she was really
in that much pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't sure, but I could see, but I can see now why you think that.
Yeah, I think
back to my mind, I can see why.
Yeah, it was like the internal pain. And I want to know what she's still... it's so weird. Like, up until the mid-season finale, I hated the Red Queen and I hated everything that had to do with her. But now I really like her.
The flashbacks were good. The modern Red Queen was just, like, a bad character, though. Like, I think at this point we have to say, yeah, that was probably planned out because she's a good actor. She did really great in this episode.
Yes.
But, you know, for some reason, like the Red Queen persona she had, you know, in the modern day, in the first half of the season, was just very off-putting.
What she probably was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the part of it is she must have, you know, seen Cora and at one point as well, and tried too hard to be Cora. I think that could be definitely another, let's say, ingredient in her persona.
Right.
Especially, you know, based on the original stories, her and Cora would have been a bit of rivals, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So in the kingdom of Wonderland. I wonder what the main industry in Wonderland is.
True.
You know, it doesn't seem like many people are working, even when we have
we're going to Oz, and the thing about Oz is that apparently no one has industry because they get up at 12 and start work at 1, and then they take an hour for lunch and then they're... Because I want that work schedule. Yes, I do.
Okay. Absolutely. I think we figured it out. Wonderland, they're the industrial kind of working class that supports the big, you know, kind of the Burgoys of Oz.
Yes, you know? Yes. Leisure Society of Emerald City, yes, exactly.
Nice. Yeah, but we definitely saw in this episode that the Red Queen is angling towards clearing her good name. Now, I think she's being straight up about it.
Yeah.
But
I think she's legit.
I don't have too much doubts about the Red Queen's redemption, you know, especially, you know, after what they put her through last episode. I mean, she's, speaking of, like, I really wish that they had, done more of that sort of thing with Regina. I'm sorry. I'm so cruel to her, but maybe that would have sped up Regina's redemption a bit instead of, you know, the charming family coming to her rescue. Blah, blah, blah.
You got to tear it down to rebuild it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
But, the one thing that kind of calls it into question for me a little bit is, like we were saying before, just how easily she gave into it. And it seemed it to be a, you know, because it was getting her crown back and her jewels back and stuff. It seemed, like re-embracing her vanity and
the Jabberwocky was forcing her to say that.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it just seemed like, I don't know, if she's going over to the side of the angels, angels put up a little bit more of a fight, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, I think that you can put up a fight and still like pretty things.
But do you think of, you know, I think we're all pretty much agreed that she means it. She wants to be better. She wants to do better.
She definitely means well.
Do you guys think she's going to accomplish it? Or do you think this is going to be a tragic story of someone who finally realized they needed to be good and then didn't make it?
I think that's going to be tragic.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to have to disagree with you, Emery.
Okay.
And here's my reasoning on this. They killed off Liz in the last episode. Tragic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would they have killed off Liz so that Will only had one remaining love interest?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, that perfectly sets up Will to be with, you know, Red Queen.
Or to lose the love of his life once he gets his heart back, moment.
See, I'm all for happy endings, and, you know, right now, as of once proper, we're definitely... You know, still unsure, you know, when will the ending be? Never. And, you know, will it be happy? Yes, of course. But we're very unsure about the once proper, but, you know, we have to have a definitive end to the Wonderland, and it has to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think it has to be happy? Or couldn't it be tragic, and then they bring this tragic... kind of haunted character into once proper, you know, because I think everybody agrees that they're going to bring at least one of these characters, if not more, over into the main show.
Right.
Or at least we hope.
I could see them bringing, you know, anybody in, really, you know, Alice, Cyrus, mm-hmm. Will, Anastasia. No, notice who I'm leaving out here.
So far.
But yeah. Anastasia, actually, I had never really considered her as the potential crossover character until this episode. But now that she has the connection with Cinderella, who's over totally, in Storybrooke, totally. Right. Like, I could definitely see it.
Well, Cinderella is technically, let's say she's technically in Storybrooke.
Right. She should be there. We just haven't seen her.
The actress is just off doing other things. She had to hire a nanny.
Aww.
Okay, let's see here. Anne-Marie, you wanted to close us out with a little bit of chasing the MacGuffin, but we need a little clarification on the MacGuffin, and you have a theory on it, right?
Okay, so the whole thing that Amara and Jafar were trying to do was to gain all three genies so they have, like, this super magic power, correct?
Mm-hmm. Magic power, break all the rules of magic, blah, blah, yes. blah, blah, yes. blah, I don't trust it.
That's a refresher for you, because Anne-Marie was talking to me before we recorded the episode, and I honestly couldn't remember what all three genies got you. Like, I was like, do you get, like, some cotton candy?
Yes, of course.
You get a cookie.
You get a Blu-ray player.
Everybody gets a Blu-ray player. No, and I couldn't actually find it, so I'm going off my memory that it's superpowers, basically.
And Tim agrees with you, which means it's more solid than if the creators of the show had said something different, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Really? Wow. I didn't know that I helped.
You contain the power. You contain the power.
You have the power.
Okay.
Okay, Emery.
Get on with the point. I think that now that we know that all three genies are just Amara's children, mm-hmm. I think what will happen is when you get all three genies back together, it'll kind of break the curse, because we saw them all just, like, the whole world start to shake and all that sort of thing. I think it's going to partially break it, but he's not going to gain all this magical power. It's going to be something like a mother's love.
Yeah, kind of like when Emma broke the curse in Storybrooke, right?
Yes. Right. Yes.
And we thought it was going to be, like, so climactic, and it was a simple kiss on the forehead, which is just, you know, cute and awesome.
Right. Yeah. I think it's going to be something like that, and Jafar is going to be highly disappointed when his staff turns back into Amara and there's three grown people standing there.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, I have to go and do this all over again.
Oh, and then the Jabberwocky and Amara will kill him.
Kill him quickly.
Yeah. Goodbye, Jafar, with the squiggly sword thing.
I was not expecting this. Bad pun. Now let me twirl my mustache.
Yeah, so there's where I think it's going.
No, I can see that. I can see that happening, definitely. What do you think, Tim?
Oh, sure. Why not? That sounds perfect. That sounds perfectly logical, and it's pretty much what I was thinking when I saw the episode. I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up here, and that means I have to come up with an arbitrary scale, which, you know, I usually don't go with numbers this low, but it's, you know, a limitation of the physical world. Out of two of Lizard's eyeball nerves, Anne-Marie.
Just no eyeballs.
I know. I'm not talking the eyeballs, the nerves coming out the back.
Somebody already rated in eyeballs in your feedback, so we can't rate in eyeballs.
You know what? This is why I don't read the feedback first, because I come up with them on the fly, and it's a consecutive creation. It's fine. So it's also a very low number, which is very unusual, which is why I'm sticking with it.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Sorry, Tim.
But if I rate it only one, then that means that people think I only liked it 50%. Fine.
I rate it one and a half nerves.
Yeah, you can get into points and stuff. Yes, of course. Sure, 1.5 too, because you know there's always room for improvement. I mean, this was a great episode for Wonderland, as we were saying before. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
For Wonderland. And Anne-Marie, what would you rate it?
1.5 nerves.
1.5 nerves? Why?
Because it was really, really good. I know you don't agree, but whatever.
I thought it was good, just not really, really good.
Right. Well, again, for Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Had this been once proper, this would have been a fairly neutral to, you know, whatever type of episode. Which I do not expect the one that we're missing at this moment to be.
Yeah, well, we're not missing it at this moment. It just ended 5 minutes ago. We because Anne-Marie took a trip this week to Portland. I had to work.
You guys have DVI, right?
We do. Like, we have Aereo.
Watch it immediately after this.
Oh, we are. Don't worry.
That's the plan. I actually went ahead and did all the website stuff for putting out the podcast episode, so I can literally just slap this episode on a timeline, upload it, and then run up and watch the new episode at once.
Yeah.
Now what do you rate it?
What do I rate it?
How many eyeball nerves?
You guys are asking me. Oh my gosh, this is so sudden. I don't know how to react. I liked it a little bit less than you guys. So 1.25 eyeball nerves.
Oh, because you didn't like it that much less.
Well, you know what? If I was rating the finale on this scale, I would rate the mid season finale. Uh-huh. I'd rate the mid season finale probably 1.6 eyeball nerves. So that probably gives you a good idea.
That's good.
Because you know, the arbitrary scales. This is very technical. Sorry, folks. But the arbitrary scales, you know, they're based on my favorite episode of Once Proper up to that point. So that's like the upper limit for quality.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So, yeah.
So you know how that goes. But
that makes a lot of sense. If it were me, I would have randomly chosen to rate it out of jars of water from the Well of Wonders, but, you know, that's just me.
See, I actually thought about it. I wasn't going to say jars. I was going to say, like, sheep bladders or something like that. That was one of the possibilities that came. It was a very organ-centric selection process in my head.
Okay.
But
I'm gonna move us right along now.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna move us to what, Anne-Marie?
I'm gonna move us to our where are we at? Oh, the news!
News. Okay.
I was in the background.
But first of all, as usual, you can get all the links that we're talking about here, which we don't usually have up for Wonderland, at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And as far as ratings, completely even with last week's episode, like no change whatsoever. But I thought it was good. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. It actually beat out Community and Vampire Diaries.
That's pretty cool. That's good.
Which I thought was pretty well shocking.
Were they on repeats?
No. Community was fresh this week. I watched it, actually. So, Vampire Diaries, I have no idea. I'm assuming not.
Interesting.
But we also have, as we mentioned earlier in the episode, the preview for next week. And I'm skimming through it here. We get some more of Cyrus's compass is being shown there, where you can find it. What is it? You can find the person you love, mm-hmm. or the thing you love or whatever. And we also get, you know, Barbara Hershey pulling out Will's heart, Jafar facing off against Alice and Cyrus. And as we said, they're going to Storybrooke, folks. The original characters from this show are going to Storybrooke. It should be interesting. Should be very, very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, of course, we'll have no reaction because Storybrooke is his home. But Alice, I'll be disappointed if we don't at least see like one Alice versus, you know, modern, like, What are these wagons without horses?
Alice versus the telephone.
Well, I mean, once you've been to Wonderland, though, cars probably aren't that all that impressive.
You're right.
This guy had infinity in his eyes in Wonderland or something. You know, the car, it's a combustible engine.
Keurig maker.
But yeah, actually, I think next week's episode, I have a feeling, depending on next week's episode, it's going to determine how I feel about the series as a whole, because it's finally kind of looping back around and coming into once proper. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably going to be a make or break episode for me as far as Wonderland's concerned. Not that we won't be doing the next couple episodes after that on the podcast or anything. Of course, we'll be.
Because after all, there are only three.
True.
Yeah, at this point, it would be more work not to do the rest of them.
Right, so. We'd be answering all the emails going, where's your episode?
Yeah.
Well, so, or anyway. Have to,
like, adjust the format of the main podcast. But speaking of the main podcast, we, you know, for Wonderland and for Once Proper, we love feedback. We love getting feedback from all of you. We love hearing from you, hearing your thoughts. And you can do that by emailing us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke, Facebook, there's always a lot of good discussion over on the Facebook. You know, if you want to check in with us throughout the week, that's probably the best place to go. Mm-hmm. It's facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke and voicemails, which, you know, we absolutely love. You can also email us in an MP3 if you want. But the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And to start off, we're going to play a voicemail. Well, actually, it was an emailed MP3, which is what made me think to mention it, from Bobby in Bradenton, one of our constant listeners and writers-inners. So I've taken away Bobby.
Hey there, Bill and Ann. Bobby from Bradenton here. I feel like I've been one of Wonderland's biggest defenders, but after this week, I'm not sure how much longer I can keep that up. This episode was so full of inconsistencies, I'm not sure how to feel. First off, they keep speaking of all three genies as if there are only three genies. There has to be more than three genies. I know of one that I believe is still residing in a psych ward. So what's so important about these three genies? I'm sure no one was surprised when Amara was revealed to be Cyrus's mother. But didn't she seem to be a bit young to have three sons that age? And why did she act so differently from when we first saw her? And the serpent, she was so cruel people couldn't even look at her. Yet here, she doesn't seem to be cruel at all. Although given it is many years earlier. Then we have the Jabberwocky, complaining about people's incessant jabbering, yet all she seems to be able to do is jabber herself. All bark, no bite. Any hopes we might have had for Lizard were dashed when Jabber brought Jafar her parting glance. Ugh. Anyone else wonder why Anna didn't just wish the bottle away like the merchant did earlier in the season? Seems like it would have been much easier. Speaking of easy, apparently the producers think all they need to do is throw some mushrooms in this enchanted forest and it becomes Wonderland. Although the scenes in the wood with Alice solving the night's riddle did feel right. I was rooting for Anna and was disappointed when she gave in so easily to the walkie's incessant jabbering. But it was in that scene that we are given yet another hint. Anna is one of Cinderella's stepsisters. And why didn't they get rid of Anna once she made her wishes? though I did like her scene with Tweedle and would love to see the people of Wonderland coming to storm the castle. I love epic scenes like that. While I know Wonderland is supposed to be curiouser and curiouser, I found this episode to be downright confusing. I give it 4 parting glances out of 17.
Thank you, Bobby. And
Bobby!
Yeah, she just seemed to give... Yeah, she just seemed to give in way, way, way too easy.
Absolutely. It was almost upsetting that she gave in so easy.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you on the Jabberwock a bit. Like, she seems to be more theatrical than threatening sometimes. A little bit.
I don't know. She made that one guy die and bleed out of his ear.
After threatening his baby.
Yeah, so that got my heartstrings.
Well, see, personally, I think that the last thing with the Jabberwock is, yeah, Jafar's in trouble.
Oh, basic, yeah. Jafar is going down via Jabberwocky.
Oh, definitely. She's just biding her time until she can get that dagger back.
Yep.
But next up, we have an email from Anne-Marie, who was our guest last week. Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and read this for
sure.
Anne-Marie?
Anne-Marie? I love reading the Anne-Marie circle letters. Okay, hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. No, I am. I just had the chance to finish watching the new Wonderland episode, and I have to say that I like this one quite a bit better than the mid-season premiere. The scene where the Jabberwocky was extracting Anna's wishes was just intense. And did we really learn that Anna is Cinderella's stepsister? And of course,
yes, we did.
And of course, Cyrus's mother was Amara. First rule of once, everyone's related. I do have to say that I didn't see that one coming. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the episode. Out of 15 creepy men of the well, I give it 14. And
oh, creepy men of the well. That would still have been another good scale to use.
Hey, Tim, yeah, you know, I'm working on my feet here, dude. I'm working on my feet. Come on.
Anyways, no. I have a name of this episode for you. Alice versus the Riddler.
Nice. Nice.
Because there was a riddle, and he must have been a Riddler, therefore.
Yes, and that was definitely also the kind of Lewis Carroll moment of this episode, the whole riddle with the night and everything. Like that just
of course, because when Alice said she was good at riddles, there's one specific riddle that's in Alice in Wonderland. Why is there even like a writing desk? And the trick is that there's not actually an answer given in the story.
You know, so something also kind of interesting about the original stories, and we'll get right back to the feedback real quick, is just like all like the logic and math jokes that are in that those books, too. If you ever want to go through them with a fine tooth comb or with, you know, annotations or like an expanded edition, it's really well worth it. But
maybe there's a link to one of those, or who knows, maybe, you know, Audible even has, you know, someone's written a commentary on it and you could find it on Audible or something.
You know? You could, and I would suggest going to audibletrial.com/greetings greetings from Storybrooke, I believe. We said at the top of the episode to, you know, get a free audio copy of Alice in Wonderland, or maybe a book analyzing the story of Alice in Wonderland.
I like it.
As you never know, you can find lots of different types of titles and things.
See, Tim, this is good. Usually we don't have a proper Audible ad in the middle of Wonderland episode, and you managed to get one in for us. Anne-Marie, I think we need to bring him on full time.
No. I'd love that, but no.
I couldn't. I just couldn't do it.
He's making sure the trains run on time, and I like that. I really like that. Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and read this next letter?
Yeah, your throat's starting to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
All right. I actually liked this episode quite a bit. The scenes with the Jabberwocky definitely gave me the heebie-jeebies. She is so creepy. However, the real winner for creepiness was the Guardian of the Well of Wonders. She really reminded me of something out of a horror movie.
Yeah, like the ring. Yeah, the ring. It was basically the Ring Girl.
Basically. The twist with Amara was not one that I saw coming and should complicate things wonderfully. The most interesting part of the episode for me were the interactions between Cyrus and Alice. I didn't quite know what to make of his standoffishness at first, and now having his backstory, it made a little more sense knowing that he didn't want to admit to Alice the huge mistake he had made in bringing the curse upon himself and his brothers. Scrolling. The behavior certainly didn't make him likable, but it definitely made him more human and gave depth to his relationships. A lot of what we had previously seen was only of him and Alice being mostly lovey-dovey, but arguments, misunderstandings are a pretty natural part of any relationship. I'm glad that he and Alice took the time to have that conversation at the end of the episode, and he seemed a bit more normal afterwards, as if some of the weight had been lifted off of his shoulders. Next week's episode looks to be pretty fantastic as Alice and Cyrus go to Storybrooke, and we finally get the fabulous Barbara Hershey. Agreed.
Thank you, Vicky. And yeah, it was nice to see them have kind of an actual relationship moment, you know, where it wasn't adventure and magic and this, that, and the other. Although I did think it just kind of made me feel a little awkward when Alice was like, let me be your bottle. It just felt like there was like a euphemism.
Yes. Or something. Yes. Like, we did not need that.
In their invisible tent.
Oh, the invisible tent.
Yes.
I want to find the girl and take her to an invisible tent.
I just want an invisible tent.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, and let's see here. We have a
We'll buy you one. We'll buy you one.
Here, I'll do this one too for you.
Okay, thank you, Anne-Marie.
Okay.
I'll get the last two. They're short.
Yeah, I was going to say you are. Hey, guys. I honestly love this episode of Wonderland. Three cheers for our Anna? Question mark? No? Okay.
Thank you.
But really, in my opinion, Anna stole the show this episode. The redemption for her character was so amazing. And when the Jabberwocky was torturing her, my heart broke to see her break like that in front of Will, no less. And when Will tried to get Anna to stay strong, even without his heart, you could tell there was some part of him that still loves her. I never really liked any of the Wonderland ships before because Cyrus and Alice just seem awkward to me. But after this episode, I really liked Will and Anna. Agreed and agreed. The Cyrus backstory was interesting. I do, however, have a new theory. I think Amara may just be playing Jafar because all that she wants were her three sons and used Jafar to get them together. I think that there may be no spell or curse at the end. The Alice-Cyrus storyline was absolutely boring, save for maybe the riddle, and even that was bad. There was so much going on in this episode that storyline...
I hate my riddle there. I hate that.
So, out of 46 pairs of pulled Liz eyeballs, ew, I give this episode 40 and one left eyeball. Your faithful listener, Elizabeth Swan. Yes, that is my real last name. Thank you, Swan.
Thanks, Swan.
And not only is she Swan, but she's Elizabeth Swan, which is from Pirates of the Caribbean, of course.
Yes, it is.
This is true. Very true. I definitely think, you know, whatever Amara's involvement in this, I definitely think that if she becomes actively involved in the situation again, it's because she's trying to, you know, pay her sons back for, you know, sacrificing thousands of years of their lives to save her.
I don't think it was thousands.
A hundred.
Yeah. 100. Oh, yeah. They said,
said 100.
Yeah.
Which that seems almost like too short a timeline.
Yeah, it really does.
But yeah. Anyway, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Thank you. And we'll finish up with a couple of tweet Facebooks here, which is what I'm going to call them now forever.
Awesome. You do that.
The first one is from Holly M. And she says, not too bad of an episode. Did not see the twist with Amara coming. Jafar better not get too confident in his control over the Jabberwocky. I think she could overpower him pretty quickly. Vorpal blade or not. And thank you, Holly. And yes, agreed on all points. I think we've discussed that pretty thoroughly in this episode. And the last one is from Twitter, at Mama Minsa. And she says, it was a strong episode. I'll be sad for the series to end. I'm finally enjoying both stories and characters. And then hashtag Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And I can definitely...
I actually agree very much with that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, definitely the first half of the season, I think a lot of times we approach coming to this podcast with what can we, you know, riff on about this episode just because we enjoyed it so little that we have to find things to make fun of it about.
Yeah.
Just because it was so uneven and they were really kind of trying to find their way. But if nothing else, at this point, they've built it up to where it's a competent story. And I almost kind of want to go back and rewatch the entire series once it's over to see if maybe once we know everything that we know now.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it might be a little bit more even across the board once everything's out on the table.
Of course, you know, I think when the whole thing's said and done, it still won't be nearly as good as Once Upon a Time. It'll be good, but it won't be as good.
It's a nice supplement, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, I think, all it was meant to be. You know, it wasn't meant to supplant it anyway. Mm-hmm.
But, next week, obviously, it's going to be a big, big, big episode, right? So you're going to want to go ahead and get in your feedback. Because, I mean, every week we get feedback we have to cut just for time or a little too long or whatever. So you want to get it in early. You want to run straight from your television at 9:01 p.m. and go to your computer and email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Tweet us at GFStorybrooke. I hit us up on the Facebook, facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, or leave us a voicemail, which will pretty much always get you played, is at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, Tim, you're trying to re-embrace the Twitter. I saw you.
Yeah.
Your Twitter account is older, but you only had like one tweet on it, and you're trying to
I was trying to test it out, and then I was like, what the heck? I'm a year or two off, but you know, let's go. Let's join the Twitters finally. Let's do that. So once dude 42 is my Twitter, and you know, anyone who can follows me, anyone who wants to follow me, follow me. Like I said, I don't promise updates every day, but that's what I'll try and do. I also don't promise to, you know, like live tweet during the episode or anything, but I will, for instance, you know, write down what my favorite lines were. For instance, in this episode, Regina said about our favorite Wicked Witch, "I don't care if she's being guarded by the Lollipop Guild." Of course, she said it better because she's Lana Perella, but, you know, I try.
Yeah.
And, well, that was a spoiler for us.
Yeah, well, it was a line. It wasn't a spoiler. It was a line.
You know, it would be an
interesting spoiler, Anne-Marie, but it's not a spoiler.
I'll definitely say if anyone goes out there and follows Tim, OnceDude42 on Twitter, he's a great guy. You know, we talk on Skype every once in a while, and, you know, we've kept in touch since he was on the episode the first time. You go follow him. You let me know. I'll draw you a picture of any Once Upon a Time character you want. I'm no artist. It'll be a bad picture.
Yep.
But I'll draw you that picture. For sure.
Nice.
And Anne-Marie, where can people find you online? What's that?
And for every follower, I'm going to tweet at them and just say, "Hey."
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone. That's pretty much where I hang out.
Don't you have a blog?
Let's just wait until I update it again, and then we'll start pushing that again.
Too bad. Okay. I never actually checked out your blog. How dare I?
It's okay. You're not missing.
Crafty, crunchy, and highly caffeinated .wordpress.com, I think.
Lies! Crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.
There we go. I got you to plug it. If you want to follow me around the online, it's at Bill Meeks. I also write some superhero adventures about a character named Dog Boy. You can find out.
No way!
I know. You want to believe it, right? You'd never know.
No, never.
You can find that at dogboyadventures.com, and I guess that's the end.
That's the end.
And that's all we're going to say. We're just going to leave it right there. And Anne-Marie have to go and watch tonight's episode of Once Proper.
That's right. Let's go.
So let's go. Until next time. Greetings from Wonderbrook. And
Storybrooke. Yeah, next week we can say Storybrooke.
Yay. See you guys.
Thank you.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I said it. Bye.